On June 16th of 09, I had the opportunity to sit down and record a conversation with Jason Earls, a local Christian comedian. Okay, we're here today at the green room of the corridor.
Yes.
Talking to Jason Earls.
It is I.
And Jason is the purveyor of serious comedy. And we have a few questions for Jason that we're gonna ask, some things that I've always wanted to know, some things I already know, but I'm asking for the benefit of the listener and being the good interviewer that I am. And I want to ask, first of all, Jason, where are you from? What's your background?
Well, originally from Africa. That's where my ancestors were. But no, I'm born and raised in Virginia. Born and raised Virginia, Portsmouth, Virginia. And, you know, born and raised, graduated from high school in Portsmouth, went to Petersburg for school at Virginia State University. And after I graduated, went to Dallas, where I attended Dallas Theological Seminary. Stayed in Dallas for 5 years, and that's kind of where my heart is right now. And I then came up here to Seattle.
What was your major in Virginia?
Virginia, I was at first I was a political science major. And, oh, man, I remember being in political science and just my first major class, thinking that this was so boring. And so I can go to long story, but anyway, I wind up changing my major because I really wanted to impact kids. That was my whole goal, to really make an impact on children. And it was a conversation that the Lord and I had in the class. And I realized just if I wanted to impact kids, the best way would be to go through education. Then I was thinking, what kind of teacher would I be? And then just going through, no, I don't want to be a math teacher. I made it through geometry, didn't like it. You know, loved algebra, but couldn't stand geometry. Then I'm not the best writer, so, and then I don't like reading a whole lot, so English wouldn't have done it for me. Then I thought, the one teacher that has to see everybody in the school, regardless of how smart, regardless of how, I don't want to say dumb, but regardless of how unsmart, regardless, every single child, physical ability, had to go through that gymnasium. So I decided to major in health and physical education.
That was my major. I was a phys ed major, sports medicine. Now you've used in your routine about your father and your grandfather being pastors. Now, is that true or is that just a joke?
That is true, 100% true. My dad currently pastors in Portsmouth, Virginia. My grandfather, actually, he just retired from being the pastor, so he's actually pastor emeritus in Chesapeake, Virginia. My other granddad, who's with the Lord now, he was a preacher. He was like he didn't make the pastoral final cut. He was in the runnings, but I guess he became second string.
Now, when did you first discover that you were funny?
It first hit me, Robert, man, in seventh grade, in middle school. I had really noticed that I naturally made everybody laugh. And shortly thereafter, one of my friends, Tamika, I remember her name, she came up to me. She said, "Jason, you are so funny." And when she said that, I said, "I know, that's right." In my mind, I was saying this, I really am funny. That's the one thing that I can do. I was a student. You know, I was in the band, but wasn't the best musician. But I was the best funny guy in middle school.
You know, I have a tendency to be funny. I see humor in life. I see humor in tragedy. Uh-huh. I can see humor in everything. But I don't know if I'm disciplined enough to stand up there and be a stand-up comic. You know, I can be a comic actor, and I'm not sure if I'm comedian material or not. What kind of discipline does it take for you to do what you do on stage?
Well, you look at Proverbs, and the diligence that Proverbs calls for, y'all pray for me. I'm still working on that. But it does take diligence in terms of being able to just have the discipline to have an idea, to write it. Make sure you consistently at some point have a time where you just sit down at a table or at a computer and write jokes. You have to have the discipline in order to study the craft. Get in DVDs of stand-up comedians, searching the internet of interviews with comedians, being able to go to the library, go to the bookstore, check out books, buy books, purchase books, and just to go through, dissect each book, go through the bibliography, and just, you know, try to grab hold of some of the books that are in the bibliography. So
that is serious comedy.
Yeah, that's serious comedy.
It's no joke. I heard one of Steve Martin's bits one time where he said, "Comedy isn't pretty." Which secular comics would you say have influenced you, either in style or material, or maybe have inspired you?
There's several. The first one that pops in my mind is Martin Lawrence. Martin Lawrence, he was the mainstream number one comedian when I was in high school. And I just thought that he was the funniest guy. His comedy style matches mine even in high school. Just his energy, his physical comedy, the way that he just told stories. I had the same style, but I actually thought I was funnier than him at one point. Said if I ever meet him, I would kill him. So Martin's one. Jerry Seinfeld is another one. Just Jerry Seinfeld's diligence at the craft, his ability just to, his work ethic with comedy. And then one comedian that I really would say that I want to be like in terms of influence, I always tell people when they ask me to describe me and its goal, I say that I want to be the Bill Cosby to the body of Christ. You know how Bill has the Cosby Show, the Fed Albert kids, he has books, he has stand-up, he does different speaking engagements all across the country. And he's just had so many different streams of comedy to impact society. And that's what I want to do for the body of Christ.
The thing I always loved about Cosby, it didn't matter what your ethnic background was.
Yeah, exactly.
You could listen to Bill Cosby and you lived what he lived.
Exactly.
That's why it's funny, because you go, oh my gosh, I have been through that myself. And he's just able to say it a little funnier than you might even think it.
Yeah.
Or than I might even think it.
It's funny, Bill Cosby, I saw an interview of a doctor, this young African-American doctor when I was in high school. And she said she met Bill Cosby. And Bill Cosby told her, if you wake up every day and say that you're a doctor, regardless of what you're doing, you're a doctor. And she said that, you know, when Bill Cosby told her that, she just kept telling herself that she was a doctor. Of course, we're looking in hindsight, or the end of the story, she was a doctor. When I saw that in high school, every single day, Robert, I said that I was a comedian. And it didn't occur to me until last year, after I was doing, I forgot what I was doing, maybe it was came from out of town, and I looked at my wife and said, I'm a comedian. And then it hit me. I used to say that every day after I saw that interview.
So you figured out in middle school that you were funny. And yeah. You, in high school, started saying you were a comedian.
I started saying I was a comedian.
But then you ended up a poli-sci major switching to phys ed. How do we do that?
That's a funny story, because I remember in high school, after I was saying I was a comedian, seeing on television that some guys were at the improv and they were going to school to learn how to be a comedian. So I said, that's what I want to do. I want to go to California, go to the improv, and go to a comedy school. So I went and told my dad. I said, Dad, I'm not going to go to college.
That worked.
I'm going to go to improv school so that I can become a comedian. And my dad died laughing. I mean, he was laughing hysterically. And when he laughed, I'm pretty sensitive, especially to my dad. I said, well, in my mind, I guess that's the end of that. I guess I got to go to school. So I went to school to major in poli-sci so I can make some money. That was the real motivation when I started searching my heart. And then and that poli-sci class, what started that conversation with the Lord, I remember asking myself, why was I majoring in poli-sci? And I said, I want to make some money. And I remember the proverb that said, labor not to be rich. So that's when I started going after what I enjoy doing, impacting people's lives.
So now, you graduated with a degree in phys ed?
I did, graduated.
And you met your wife in Dallas or in Virginia?
I met her at Virginia State. And then I graduated, she stayed in Virginia. She wasn't finished school yet. And I went to seminary in Dallas. And after, I guess, a year in seminary, I realized that I was going to marry my wife. And I was having burnout in seminary, so I decided to take some time off, came back home, and got married. That was May 99. I mean, May 2000 when I came home, and we got married December 2000.
So then, did you finish the seminary degree?
I did not. I'm still trying to see how that works out. I wind up getting 4 THM degrees. Their names are Aaron, Alexandria, Alicia, and Andrew. Right there, I say that's my seminary education. I just didn't want to, because of how intense seminary can be, and the seriousness that I would take it, I just didn't want to do my wife like that.
Well, I always say Peter and Paul did not go to seminary.
Yeah,
and so I don't see that. Ministry requires seminary unless you need it to learn. Some people need seminary to learn what they need to learn to serve God, and other people have the discipline enough to study it themselves. I mean, that's my own opinion.
But what you're saying, that is a passage in Acts where I believe it was the Bereans that were talking to Peter and John in Acts chapter 3, I believe, and they walked away from Peter and John's encounter, and the text says that they realized that they weren't educated men, but that they had been with Jesus.
That's it. I stand on that all the time.
Yes, sir.
I didn't go to acting school. I didn't do any of that, but I've been with Jesus.
That's it.
So you were in Dallas. How did you end up back in Dallas after you went home and got married?
Well, again, the intentions were to jump back into seminary after staying in Virginia and teaching phys ed in Richmond Public Schools. We went back to Dallas to pursue seminary and started working. And once we got back there, was working at Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship, went to reapply to sign up for my classes, came home and my wife told me that she was pregnant again. And so I said, okay, I just won't go back. I want to make sure that you're okay. Was about to go back again. Came to find out my wife was pregnant again. So, after number 4, we finally realized what causes that.
Now, you worked for Tony Evans.
Tony Evans, yes.
And that was, what church is that?
Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship.
Oak Cliff, okay, I'm sorry. And he had a radio program for a while. Does he still have that?
He still does.
What's that called?
The Urban Alternative.
Yeah. Okay, so... Now the here's the cool part. You felt God telling you to stop doing that and to become a comedian full time.
Yeah.
Tell us how that went.
Okay, so I remember I was working at that time. Let me say, I started off working at Oak Cliff in the outreach ministry. At that time, I was part of a program which is now known as the National Adopt-a-School Initiative. At that time, it was just two guys working there, myself and a guy named France Brown. And, you know, we just went out to the public schools and just mentored. I wind up having, you know, 13 schools where I would mentor anywhere from 2 to 20 guys at a school. And I started having the passion to teach again. I looked at this Oak Cliffs, their Christian school, and just saw a need there. So I started teaching there. After 2 years, then that's when the Lord began to, looking back now, prepare me to leave. Just by, it was one Bible verse that is said many different times in Scripture. And that verse is, with God all things are possible. I came across that verse about 5 times. People would buy me gifts with that passage on it. I would see a plaque with that passage on it. I would wake up and that passage would come to mind. And once I really started studying it, one night I was just watching TV, ESPN, probably like for the 3rd time in a row, decided to turn it off, watch, you know, study the Scriptures. And the Lord just made it very clear that Sunday night, early Monday morning, that it was time for me to trust Him to do the impossible. And that was to provide for my family while I do comedy full time. And normally I tell my wife what's going on, what the Lord's saying to me. I didn't that Monday. But Tuesday she came to my classroom at the church and, you know, with a real serious look said she wanted to talk to me. I said, okay. She sat down at my desk and just told me how Priscilla, you know, Dr. Evans' daughter had just given a testimony about how he consistently provided for her in seminary when she started speaking full time. And said how she felt like that testimony was just for her. And for sometimes she had been feeling like, I don't need to renew my contract teaching. And she started crying. She said, Jason, I feel like God is calling us to do comedy full time. And then she looked at me saying, I don't want you to think I'm trying to manipulate you with my tears. I guess I had some type of facial expression. But then I told her, no, the reason why I'm looking at like that is simply because the Lord has shared the same thing with me night before last. So that's so we prayed then and decided that we're going to just commit, not knowing how I was going to take care of a stay-at-home mom and 3 kids. But that's what I knew what God was calling me to do. So
were you... Yeah, it's the kind of thing that you might hesitate to tell your wife because the response might be, are you crazy? What's the matter with you?
Yeah,
but you got 4 kids. What am I supposed to do?
Right. Yeah, we can't eat jokes.
So that's kind of a good confirmation, I'd say.
Oh, big time, man.
So now, were you doing comedy part-time at the time while you were working there or just using it in your, you know, using that gift in your job?
No, I was doing comedy part-time. It really started, me traveling doing comedy kind of started when I first went to seminary. And, you know, just through that, through somebody hearing that there's this Christian funny guy, people just started inviting me all over the place. So I would still travel, but just not as much. Excuse me.
So now how much time was there between that to when you moved up to the Northwest?
Ironically, that was February 06 when my wife and I had that conversation. So the school year ended in May, and I stopped working. And just that summer, that fall, just kept, you know, was just the Lord was providing. It was an amazing time. Then in that summer, Andre Sims, who initially hired me to Oak Cliff, he moved up here to take over an establishing church. And he asked me, Dr. Evans told him that I was no longer working with the church. So he called me and said, hey, since you're doing comedy, you kind of free to travel the way that you want, be in any location. Could I come up here in Seattle and be like their youth pastor? And they wouldn't obligate me to be there every Sunday. It would just be on a part-time basis, and they would, him knowing what it's like being a Christian artist, he's a former artist, they would provide me with, you know, just the basic living, fixed income needs while I work part-time and free me up to do comedy.
That's a blessing.
I thought it was a distraction at first. I thought it was a, you know, do you really want to do comedy? Let me see. Are you really going to uphold to what I've told you to do? Or are you going to go with the comfort of being a youth pastor? That's what I thought it was at first. But the more I prayed about it, my wife and I sought counsel. We saw that it was the Lord.
It's provision.
Especially after a recession hit.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Well, I think during a recession, we need comedians.
Yeah, you got that right.
We need to laugh.
Hence the recession relief comedy show.
Okay, now, so tell us about what you're doing at the Corridor, the Jesus Java and Jokes.
Jesus Java and Jokes. So I moved here to the Pacific Northwest and thought that since it was a good comedy city, just from my research, thought it was going to be the same thing on the Christian side. But after being here 2 years and did only had one comedy gig in Seattle and the whole Metroplex state of Washington, I decided, like, you know what? Instead of waiting for my phone to call or phone to ring, let me just start trying to create this awareness of Christian comedy in the Pacific Northwest. So I'm a member of the Christian Comedy Association, where I met two comedians from the Pacific Northwest, Jen Doucette and Nancy Parkhurst. And I just said, hey, let's just start writing together. We're up here. And the idea, after we started writing together, I told them that I want to, like, put together a tour just to go in the Pacific Northwest to tell churches, hey, you got some comedians over here. Hello. Hello. You know. And so from that, we just decided to do a showcase. And from the showcase, it was a good show, so we decided just to have a spot here at the Corridor where people can come to get some real good, clean Christian comedy.
Well, it's really nice to have a place that, you know, I mean, you want to work everywhere, but you know how some comics, you know, you see, well, they've been at the Comedy Store, and that's kind of been their home base,
right.
And some people are at the Improv, and that's their home base, and it's good. You know, for this place, I mean, I think this place, you know, I just really have a vision for this place.
Yes, sir.
It's going to be a community of Christian artists that are supporting each other and you know, working together. And I think that's really, really cool.
Yeah, it is an awesome spot. You know, I haven't seen anywhere else, you know, another venue like this in the Pacific Northwest. Well, in Dallas, anywhere for that matter. But this is just a nice, you know, nice spot in terms of the its look. It's a real nice comedy environment, but then just the whole, like you say, the vision for the place, you know, especially with the percentage here, we need a launching pad somewhere for all of us believers to link up.
So now, where do you draw your material from?
My material comes from whenever I hear somebody laugh, that's like the Doberman Pinscher's ears going up, like. And then I just dissect, why did they laugh? So, you know, a lot of my best material comes from just sitting around with family, with friends, fellowshipping, and just the humor coming out of others and myself. And then coming from life, you know, of course, I have a wife and four young kids. That's plenty. And then just, you know, just always thinking back to my childhood and things that I experienced back at home and in church.
Does your wife ever look at you and say, you're not using this?
No, I think she trusts me enough. I'm not that crazy enough to.
I know at my house, every once in a while, things that we go through end up in a sketch.
Right.
And every once in a while, I get the look.
Yeah. No, we will laugh and we'll both say at the same time, too bad we can't use that on the stage.
I know. Well, with four kids, there's plenty of material.
Oh, you can't keep it up. I mean, you can't write enough.
And you can't make it up either.
You got that.
I mean,
right.
the stuff that kids do, you couldn't invent that.
Yeah, like, man, the craziest thing that happened as a father, and I haven't even taken this to the comedy stage. I've used it in my speaking. But, you know, when my son was being potty trained and waking up, probably like 12 o'clock at night, hearing somebody in the bathroom and just walking in the bathroom. Before I got to the bathroom, I just saw this brown substance smeared all over the hallway wall. Walked in the bathroom. It was smeared on the bathroom wall, smeared on the door. And then looking, my son was getting that substance off of his hands in the commode, man. Walked in his room. The smearing is on his floor, on his bed. Disgusting, man.
Children, you gotta love them. So how do you write? I mean, are you some people, you know, write word for word? They say that George Carlin wrote every word, and he spoke every word that he wrote. And other people maybe make themselves an outline, and they're more free form.
Right.
And you just kind of stick a coin in them, and they're off. How do you approach it?
It would be the latter for me. I am the outline guy, the bullet points. Put a quarter in me. Just let me go. But the thing is, although that's a great strength, it can be your greatest weakness as well. Because let's take the show the other night, for instance. And I'm embarrassed to say, Rob, man, I got up and didn't prepare anything. I didn't write a thing down. I didn't go through my mind. When I started trying to settle down to see, okay, Jason, get your set together, get your set. By that time, it was too late. And I just got on stage. And if you look back, I can point out how you could tell. But looking back, it was a real good night. Especially when the heckler came.
The sister in the back.
Yeah, the sister in the back. From the institutional church.
Well, you know, sometimes it depends on your audience, too. I mean, there's some audiences that if you come on stage like that, they're going to sit on their hands and you're going to wither up and die. Yeah. And if you have an audience that's playing with you, like somebody like that can save a night like that too, because it lets you rely on your natural gift for, you know, improvisation and playing off of somebody like that. Then it gets the audience, you know, kind of worked up and gets them some energy, and you feed on that energy.
Yep. But the danger is that, you know, when I got off stage, everybody was excited and clapping and laughing, which is a comedian's goal. But that can be, again, that's the weakness, because the diligence, going back to that question, it makes you lazy.
Yeah, it fools you into thinking that you don't need to prepare.
Exactly. Yes, yeah. Sir.
Yeah, I've been there. Father Pat's been there before.
Yes, sir.
So, well, this is really cool. You're traveling a lot now, or is it starting to pick up?
It's starting to pick up. We hit, you know, when the recession hit, it went from probably like 3 to 5 times a month to one, and then some months none. But then back in February, it just started picking back up. Now it's at a point where, you know, you're getting conflicts of interest, conflict of dates, just having to turn down dates now.
Right.
So that's awesome.
That's not a bad thing. And when you have a monthly gig that's at one spot, sort of a you know, I don't want to use the word predictable, but it's people depend on, they can come and see you here.
Yeah.
And then they find out you can spread the word of where else you're going to be, if you're going to be in the area.
Yeah.
They call their friends and say, you got to see this guy. Call their pastor, it's, you know, that they knew in some other city. Go,
yes, sir.
Boy, you should have this guy for an evening. Mm-hmm. You know, and the rest of your crew. And I think it's fantastic. And I'm looking forward to it. And I, you know, enjoy going to, I enjoy watching you work.
I appreciate it. I'm excited to see what the Lord does with it. I'm just, like the other night, man, we did a show here at the Corridor. Then we went up to Snohomish and did a 7 o'clock and a 9:30 show. And then we turn around and just one comedian is coming in town. So we're going to put together a show tomorrow. This Saturday with him. So it's, man, we're getting busy in the Pacific Northwest.
That's good to know, because, you know, the one thing that I did want to bring up is, now your style is generally pointed towards sharing the gospel.
Yeah.
And there's other Christian comics who are comics, and they're Christians. They don't hide it. They mention it. They perform at churches. Uh-huh. But it's not necessarily aimed at, you know, the gospel message. You know, I mean, so here you're combining your seminary training along and your heritage from your grandparents and your father into what you're doing now. You know, how do you see that?
How do I see it? Why does it happen? Oh, man. The other night at a show, I was listening to comedians and just saw that. I saw how my style was distinct by simply the word is, you can just see it consistently interwoven in my material. And I was like, man, maybe I need to just work on some clean material. But the reality is, I just, for me, you know, the scripture says, out of the abundance of the heart does the mouth speak. And I just, I don't know. I don't know how to explain it. Everything that I write, just, it comes out that way. I don't try to sit down and say, you know what? I need some material that's going to, you know, make a person think like this. It's just the material that the Lord drops in my mind.
It writes itself.
Yeah. But then on the other hand, I would say that my mission, I know Jason's personal call is to, one, make disciples, and to, two, bring enlightenment biblically to all those who would hear. And there's certain that I have a whole bunch of comedy verses that encourage me and that the Lord has just brought to me to confirm what he's called me to do. One in particular is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. It says, whoever speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. And whoever ministers, let him minister as the oracles of God.
When you said comedy verse, I was thinking more like, who told you you were naked?
Or like, it's another one, man, in Job. And Job, it says, I think it's Job 19:17 or 17:19. It says, so even my breath was bad until my wife. Yeah, that's a comedy verse.
Wow. Well, I tell you what, this is, I'm glad we got an opportunity to do this, yeah. And I'm hoping that we can, you know, get some more of you on. Actually,
for sure.
Did you record what you did last night? Did you video that? Saturday night?
I videoed Friday Saturday night.
Not Friday?
Some of the other guys did. Eric and Chris recorded.
Because maybe we can, maybe we can rip the audio off of that.
That we do have the audio available.
And start compiling your comedy album.
That'd be good.
Well, we've been talking to Jason Earls.
Jason Earls.
Serious Comedy.
Serious Comedy.
Jesus.
Java and Jokes.
You can see Jason on the second Friday of each month at The Corridor. That's 2819 South 208th Street in SeaTac, Washington.